wonderful to see all of you here today, and the singing was beautiful again. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Something that we see very often in the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels is how he would come to people and approach them directly and just say to them, "Follow me." And many of them did. It was, in a very literal sense, unlike how we normally think of following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, as we would all describe ourselves here today. But when Jesus approached people in the way that he did, he looked them in the eye, and sometimes as they were just going about their daily work or their normal life, Jesus would command them or speak to them in a way directly, "Follow me." And what he was meaning by that was to actually get up immediately where they were and whatever they were doing, to leave it behind and make a decision right there to come and follow him. Many of these people had been perhaps listening to his teaching, some to that point, or they had observed some of his miracles, but Jesus then called for them to make a choice, to make a decision to stop what they were doing and begin to follow him. I find that something very challenging, and yet as we think about it, something that Jesus is seeking in each one of our lives, that we are the type of people that are willing to follow him. And we are willing to give up other things that we are doing in life to make that decision to follow him. And oftentimes it comes at times where we may be doing many other things and many other things that we feel that are important, and yet Jesus is asking us to follow him. So this morning we want to look at that. Again, I want to welcome all of our visitors and let you know how much it means to us to have you with us. We really enjoy that, and it's encouraging to us. But as Jesus often came to people, he was able to see in them qualities that were what he was desiring to have, qualities that he could use in his service as he went about the work of his Father in seeking the saving of souls. He was looking for people who would be committed with him and follow him in that commitment. And as he looked at there, he was able to judge from their response whether they were the type of people that would be true followers or not. And he made the statement in a later passage in Matthew. He said that many were called, but few were chosen. And judging on the basis of that initial call that Jesus gave to them, there were some who responded and followed him, but there were others who were not willing to. They may have wanted to, and I believe all of them were believers in one way or another. And yet there were those that got up and went and followed Jesus, whereas there were others that weren't willing to make that commitment. And that was very telling in the difference in their lives. I'd like for us today then to look at those examples where we find people who were willing to follow Jesus, and look at what were the qualities that they showed in their lives that are the qualities that Jesus is looking for in our lives today. Because the importance of this, I want to remind us all, is that Jesus is calling each one of us to follow Him today. And He is telling us to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and to follow Me. And those same qualities that were necessary in those original disciples that we read about are the same qualities that are needed in our lives today to be the type of people that can be involved and Jesus can use us in His service this morning. So in the beginning in our study, we want to look at the cases of some who really did follow Jesus. And meaning by that they left what they were doing and went and began following Him. We want to begin by reading in Luke chapter 5 and reading here about the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And of course, they were fishermen. They were fishermen by the Sea of Galilee. But in Luke's account in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and He saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him." As we look at this account here, we see that one of the prerequisites that Jesus is seeking is this attitude of Peter, that is, of humility, that Peter, once he realized what Jesus had just done in the tremendous catch of fish that He made possible for them, that the first thing that his reaction was to fall down at Jesus' feet and, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Lord, You cannot want a man like me. I am not worthy, I am unworthy, Lord, to be one of Your followers." And yet Jesus immediately spoke to Simon and He said, "No, get up, Simon, I know all of that about you, but I will make you fishers of men." And the amazing thing that we read is that then, following that encouragement of Jesus, "Do not be afraid," He said, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. I would suggest that one of the qualities that Jesus needs to see in all of our lives today is that type of sense of humility that Peter had. That we recognize the greatness of Jesus, the one we are being called to serve. And in our own estimate of ourselves, though we feel unworthy, how can one like Him want us in His service? And yet that is the very quality that Jesus is looking for us to be of the attitude that He is so great and we are so unworthy, and yet for Him to call us to His service we are willing to accept that and see what it is that the Lord has for us. Well, then we look at another case like this that I also think very interesting, and that is the case of Matthew, or the case of Levi, the tax collector. And in Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, we see that the account here is given of Jesus coming to the toll booth of the tax collector Levi. It said, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now, Levi is an interesting person, Matthew. I don't know if any of you have been watching the Chosen series on television. But there are some interesting things in there, the portrayal of Matthew, that he is an interesting character. And there are things in the scriptures, I think, that would indicate that the very fact that he was a tax collector made him different from all the other disciples. And a tax collector, in the eyes of the Roman government and in the eyes of the Jews, was despised. The fact that he was working with the Roman government, and he had the protection of the Roman government as their agent to collect taxes from the Jewish people, and that put a burden on the Jewish people. So to the Jews, that was the worst of the worst. And yet, how could Jesus call a tax collector to be one of his disciples? So he came by the booth, and there was Levi sitting at his place of work as he normally did. And Jesus just approached him and he said, follow me. And Matthew arose and followed him. Now, in doing that, Levi, think of the things that he was giving up. He had a position with the government there, that he was protected, that he had special rights and special benefits. No doubt it was a very prosperous position that he had, and yet he was willing to give those things up. We see a quality in Matthew that those things really did not matter to him. He was willing to give all of that up and leave that behind. How much of Jesus had he seen or heard? Here in this same passage earlier that day, Jesus, we're told, had gone into a house here in Capernaum, and he had some of the men that were so crowded, they took the tiles off the roof, and they let a paralytic down through the roof, and Jesus healed him. Whether Matthew had seen that miracle or not, we don't know. But maybe he had heard about Jesus and was thinking about him. But when Jesus approached him and he said to Levi, follow me, Levi on the spot arose and followed Jesus. What a wonderful choice that he was willing. And again, what is it that Jesus is needing to find in our lives? People who are willing to make sacrifices. People who the things of this world, as important as they may seem, there is something far more important that we find when we are called to follow Jesus Christ. And it's that willingness to give up the things of this life for something greater that makes one where Jesus can use you in his service, in the work of saving souls that he has come from heaven to bring forth for our behalf. Well, then we read of Philip in John chapter 1 and verse 43 beginning. Philip, a man that we do not know much about. We don't know what type of work Philip did. We read that he was from Bethsaida, the home of Andrew and Peter. But it says here, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We notice that the very first thing that Philip did here when Jesus called him to follow is that he immediately went and told Nathanael about the one that they had found, and he used the name of Jesus. He expressed that as the first act that he did in following Jesus, he went and began to tell others about the message of who this wonderful person was that they had found. So here are some qualities that we see among these original early disciples, where they made such a decision to get up and leave what they were doing and follow the Messiah. We see that Peter's attitude was that he was unworthy. And we see that Matthew's attitude was, these things of this world don't really matter in the long run. What Jesus is calling me for is so much more valuable and so much more important. I'm willing to leave this behind. And what we see in Philip is, as soon as he becomes interested in following Jesus, he immediately begins to look for other people that he knows also need to benefit from this great man, Jesus, that they are now going to be following. Those are the qualities as we look at our lives. Now, as Philip here speaks, he says to Nathanael, he speaks to him, and Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip's answer was, "Come and see." So here's quality that Jesus can obviously use these qualities in our lives today when we have those attitudes that these early disciples had. But now, there are some that the scriptures also give us who weren't willing to follow Jesus when given that same invitation. Well, we find in Mark chapter 10, the account here is given of the rich young ruler and Jesus coming to him, calling him to follow. It says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' 'You know the commandments,' Jesus said." And he began to quote some of those. And the young man, he said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But, it says, he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. A different response then on the part of this young man. Now, keep in mind that here this man was not an unbeliever. This man believed in Jesus. He was very interested in the teachings of Jesus. And he seemed to be a fine young man in many ways. It says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. But Jesus saw in this young man's life something that when he was going to follow Jesus, he said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give this to help the poor, and then come and take up your cross and follow me." Now, we don't know, but if Jesus had just talked with this young man and he said, "Follow me," I think it's possible this young man would have followed him. But Jesus said, there's something lacking in your life. And that was the very thing that this man was not willing to give up. He had great possessions. And at that word, it says, he went away sorrowful, for because he had those great possessions that he owned. When we follow Jesus, we need to be willing to give up those things. And Jesus understood this from the beginning. What good would a disciple be who was not be willing to give up those things to help another disciple who was in need? In order for us to be the disciples and followers of Jesus, we have to be willing to give up everything in his service. And sadly, this young man went away unwilling to make that choice to follow the Lord that many of the others had. He seemed like a good candidate, and yet he went away sorrowful. Let's look at another example here that is also seen in the book of Luke in chapter 9 and beginning with verse 57. We actually see several here coming to Jesus and expressing that they wanted to follow him. And yet, Jesus' response, once again, is to challenge them to a higher level. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he getting at here? He's pointing out the fact that the life that you're going to be called to live when you come and follow me is going to be one where you're going to be having to give up many of those home conveniences that you're accustomed to. Being a follower of Jesus at this time, what did it mean? It meant that they would be going and following him day after day, and at night finding a place to camp out and build a fire and sleep on the ground as they went from town to town following Jesus as he went about his work. Now, this did not always mean, as we can see in the case of Peter, for example, that they would never be able to go back home, because Peter had a house, he had a wife, he had a mother-in-law that the Bible refers to, and Peter no doubt came back to those from time to time. But in order to follow Jesus, they had to leave home, and they had to be willing to accept a life that would require a lot of them. And so Jesus is very direct and upfront, and he's saying, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, the implication of this disciple may not have been willing to make that commitment, and Jesus wanted them to understand this is what is going to be necessary. This is what is going to be, it's going to take. It says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now here was a request that seems very reasonable. And yet notice the response that Jesus gave to this man. Lord, I want to follow you. I really do want to follow you. But there is something I have to first do before that. I need to go back home and bury my father. Now, whether his father had actually died at this time is not clear. But it seems a reasonable request that he is making. But once again, Jesus is saying, let's skip that for right now. I want to know if you're willing to go with me and preach the kingdom of God. This is the thing that I am about. And you're either in or out as far as wanting to be committed to the work that we are doing. And so here was the indication that a man, while he wanted to follow Jesus, there really were other things in his life that would come before that. And until he could do that, he wasn't ready to follow. What if Jesus came in here this morning, I'm wondering, if Jesus walked in and said the same words to us, each one of us, follow me. How many of us would be willing to go? I'm sure that many of us, we would all say, yes, I want to follow you, Lord. But on the other hand, many of us would say, no, but Lord, I need to check my schedule. I have to be at work tomorrow morning, and I have a lot of things going on this week that we have planned. There are a lot of important things coming up that I need to think about this first, and let me get back to you on that. It's these other things in our lives that are so consuming of our time and our efforts that Jesus is saying, no, I want to know, are you willing to follow me? And it requires a commitment and a choice and a priority on our part. In verse 61 it says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Another very seemingly reasonable request that this man made. And yet Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is calling for disciples and followers then that are willing to put other things aside of this life, no matter how important they seem, and recognize the fact that his work must come first. That Jesus seeks first place in our hearts and in our lives. As we think about those, it's easy to figuratize those and think of those, well, that was then, this is now. It really doesn't apply to me in that same way. But let's see what Jesus does say to each one of us here in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, the question that I think really is on my mind in reading that is, what does that really require? What does that really look like in today's world that we live in? To deny myself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. What would that really mean? What would that really involve for me to follow Jesus as those early disciples did, now that Jesus is no longer here on the earth, and yet he is calling each one of us in a similar way? He's saying, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's those same qualities that Jesus saw in Peter. Peter had that attitude of humility. Lord, I'm not willing. I'm a sinful man. Lord, depart from me. It's that quality of humility that Jesus starts with in our lives, that he can use a person like that, that has that kind of willingness to see his greatness above ourselves. Secondly, there was Levi. He was willing to get up and leave his position and make those sacrifices. There was Philip, that the first thing on his mind was to go and tell his friend Nathanael, come and see the one that we have found. Those are the qualities that Jesus is looking for in our lives. What is it that makes the difference between one who is willing to follow Jesus and one who really cannot make that decision? They may want to. They may really feel like, I would like to follow Jesus, but there are other things. And when it is all said and done, they're not willing to make that cost in their lives. One thing that stands out is when Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, he says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Here is an attitude that we see Jesus is our shepherd, and we are willing to follow his voice. We are willing to listen. We know who to follow in life, whose voice to listen to. That's so important in our world today. Whose voice are we listening to? There are so many voices out there calling us. But my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Does that mean something to us? That we can find in Jesus something that the world calls us in all different directions, but his voice is going to bring us to eternal life. He's the one that we need to be following. In Matthew 16, once again, 24 and 25. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying here, if you follow me, you're going to have to give up your life. But in giving it up, you'll find it. But if you keep your life, then you will lose it. We think about that in terms of, what is your life that you have? It's a comfortable life. It's a life that, in order to follow Jesus, we're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to rearrange our priorities, rearrange our schedules, and make time for him. So many times today, that's the problem in our lives. That, Lord, we want to follow you, but there is so many things that I need to do first. And then maybe I will have time for this when we get around to it. But the Lord is saying, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one who will find it. How can we be more like that, the kind of followers that Jesus can truly use today? That we're ready to give up all to be committed to him. John chapter 1, verse 47, we read about Nathanael earlier. And his original reaction to Jesus was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He had heard about the city of Nazareth. And it may not have had any great reputation. And so his first reaction was, why would anyone want to follow someone from Nazareth? But Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. This was a miracle of recognition of Jesus showing his ability to know what Philip was doing before Philip called him. How could he know that? It was an indication of his power, of his deity, of who he really is. And Nathanael recognized that. Just that one small thing convinced Nathanael that he was the Christ. He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How can I not follow the Son of God, the King of Israel?" It made the decision so easy for Nathanael once he recognized who Jesus was. And it ought to make it easy for us to make that decision today. Jesus is calling each one of us, and he's asking us the question, "I have work for you to do. Will you join me in that work? I'm looking for people who have those qualities that I need to be involved in my work." Jesus is literally, actually calling each one of us to that kind of life today. In order for us to decide will we follow Jesus, it really begins with baptism. Are we willing to follow Jesus in baptism? Jesus himself, one of the first things that he did, he went to the Jordan River and he was baptized by John. And John said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of you." He said, "Suffer it to be so for righteousness." Jesus set the example. Are we willing to follow him? Jesus went to lost people. He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save the lost." He spent most of his time going out among people that were lost. And are we willing to follow him there? But ultimately, Jesus was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And are we willing to follow him there? Are you willing to be a follower of Jesus when it begins to cost you? When things begin to get a little bit scary following the Lord? We're starting to live in those times, where to be a follower of Jesus is going to require something extra on our part. It's going to require that we are willing to face the consequences of being the followers of Jesus Christ. What if we come down here on a Sunday morning and we have hate words spray painted all over the front of the building? What are we going to do when the media comes after us because of the position and the teaching that we take on marriage, that we uphold the biblical view of marriage between one man and one woman? What are we going to do when our names begin to be attacked and we begin to be canceled and you begin to receive those hateful messages? Will you be willing to keep following when it begins to cost you? Are you going to still be here when those times come? Jesus was looking for disciples who were willing to pay the price if necessary. And those things may be coming. We've been very blessed. But Jesus is calling you this morning, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let's let those things stay for a while. You can come back to those later, but come with me. Let's go fishing for men. Let's get involved in the work of the kingdom of God that needs to be done. Are you willing to be part of that? Thank you for your attention. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you're here this morning and subject to the gospel invitation to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, we invite you to come while we stand together and while we sing.
Hark to the gentle voice of Jesus Father.